This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. If your heart stops, every minute that passes without intervention exponentially decreases your odds of surviving. Medicine has made big strides in treating and managing heart failure in the hospital, but heart attacks often happen on the street, at home, or at the coffee shop. And the only one who can keep you alive during those crucial first few minutes is a bystander, a stranger, a neighbor, anyone willing to perform CPR. Newly minted doctor and Pulse contributor Avir Mitra explores why CPR, despite its life-saving qualities, can be a tough sell.
Okay, hi Avir. I'm trying to talk the way I'm supposed to normally talk.
This is Amanda Pitt, a fourth grade school teacher in Philadelphia.
So I was about halfway through a run, and there's a big space next to me, and a car pulled into it, and I could immediately see that there was something wrong with the person in the passenger seat. I didn't know whether she was having a seizure or something really strange was happening with her, and then she looked like she went unconscious.
And this is what our story is about today. What happens when someone may be in serious trouble? When someone may be in cardiac arrest?
That was what I said, was like, do you need help? And they said yes. Like,
they meaning the driver, who was a young man.
They opened the car door and pulled the person out onto the ground, who was kind of stiff and unconscious, and her lips were turning blue.
This is clearly a moment of truth, right? I mean, what would you do if you were in her shoes right now? The sad truth is, if you're like the vast majority of us, you would do nothing. You wouldn't save this person's life.
And unfortunately, they say about over 1,000 people die a day due to sudden cardiac arrest in the United States. And they have a poor chance of surviving because people aren't doing CPR.
This is John Urbiri, the program director for EMS education at the Department of Emergency Medicine at Drexel University College of Medicine. And he believes there are three main reasons why people hesitate to do CPR.
The big things are really fear of failure, not really being sure of what to do.
The second is fear of infection.
And then lastly is fear of litigation.
Think about all the advances we've made in cardiac care. Bypasses, stents, transplants, statin drugs, aspirin. We've cut the amount of cardiac deaths by a lot. But the weak link, it turns out, is us. You, me, or any bystander who could utilize CPR to keep someone alive till an ambulance arrives.
And unfortunately, it's tracked very well here in the U.S. that if you were to have a cardiac arrest outside of the hospital, that you have a very bleak chance of surviving, anywhere as low as 8%.
Statistically, the national average for surviving a cardiac arrest is only 8%. Look at that another way. If your heart stops, you have a 92% chance of dying right then and there, never making it to any modern medicine at all. Those are dismal numbers in our era, and according to a lot of experts in the field, they could be a lot better. We know this because there are certain special places in the country where you have a much better chance of surviving a cardiac arrest. You're probably thinking I'm talking about a hospital, right? Or maybe the White House? Nope.
So there was a study in casinos that found that if you have a cardiac arrest at a casino, you have a 75% chance of actually surviving that cardiac arrest.
That's versus 8% on the street. Even hospitals don't do that well.
The reason is they have cameras everywhere, so they see when someone collapses, and then all the security guards and dealers are trained in CPR and how to use a defibrillator.
Okay, so mental note. If you think your heart's going to stop, get on a slot machine ASAP. But how do we make the outside world more like a casino?
There are other areas of the country that are higher than the national average. So Seattle, King County, Washington. They save 62% of people who have an out-of-hospital witnessed cardiac arrest, which is outstanding.
Versus 8% nationally.
Correct.
How does that work? What are they doing that we need to do?
In the state of Washington, to graduate high school, you have to have CPR training, so it's a law.
So Washington State addressed the first concern, fear of failure, by exposing every high school graduate to CPR at least once. And John's second concern, the fear of infection, well, that's being countered by a new type of CPR that's showing great results and may soon become the norm. It's called hands-only CPR.
They remove mouth-to-mouth for patients, so you don't have to worry about getting any body fluid on you if you're just doing hands-only CPR.
All the icky mouth-to-mouth is gone, plus no remembering ratios of compressions to breaths. With hands-only CPR, you just do chest compressions because it turns out that compressing the chest also squeezes the lungs and moves some air. And people can survive for a while with the oxygen they already have, as long as their heart or your hands are pumping the blood around.
Survival rates are higher among those who receive chest compressions versus chest compressions and rescue breathing.
And as for the fear of litigation,
Good Samaritan laws, we need to get the word out that you are covered and you won't be sued if you are to help in an emergency situation.
Okay, so we've got three good ideas that could save lives immediately. CPR training for all students, which, by the way, became law in New Jersey and Delaware this academic year. We've got hands-only CPR, where all you have to do is press hard and fast in the center of the chest until help arrives. And we have Good Samaritan laws that are already in effect. But along the way, I started hearing about a fourth solution, an app called Pulse Point, created by a retired California fire chief.
Yes, my name is Richard Price, and I'm the president of the Pulse Point Foundation.
Richard's creation was born from tragedy.
I was out to lunch one day and heard a siren and saw the crew coming in, and then to my surprise, they pulled up right in front of the restaurant where I was eating. And right next door, somebody had had a cardiac arrest, and they were just feet from me, literally probably 20 or 30 feet away from me, but I was unaware of it. So even as the fire chief trained in CPR, I wasn't aware of, you know, that great need so nearby.
You could have the world's best CPR instructor next door to a cardiac arrest, but they might never know.
So after experiencing that, you know, and thinking about how the firefighters knew about that cardiac arrest when I didn't, it was because they were dispatched to it. So I didn't have a radio at the time, but I always had my cell phone with me.
And so the idea struck him. A GPS-enabled app could be the perfect tool to alert CPR-trained citizens of a nearby cardiac arrest.
We didn't know if it was possible to actually accomplish it.
But with the help of interns from Northern Kentucky University, paid in Doritos, Pepsis, and housing, as he puts it, he built Pulse Point. The app interfaces with the local 911 dispatcher via software installed on the dispatcher's computer. So now, when the 911 dispatcher alerts the ambulance of a cardiac arrest, that same message gets pushed to Pulse Point users nearby.
You know, you're here, the patient's here, and here are the AEDs around you.
AEDs, by the way, are defibrillators, publicly located pads that can deliver a shock to the heart to reboot it. CPR keeps the patient alive till help arrives, but a properly used AED can actually fix the problem right there in the field. Anyway, the point is the app attempts to bring the solution to the problem. Okay, so you might be wondering, whatever happened with Amanda Pitt, whose jog was interrupted by an unresponsive woman in the passenger seat of a nearby car?
Well, I helped the guy pull the woman onto the curb so we could look at her. So we laid her out on the pavement, and her lips were blue. She clearly wasn't breathing. And so I started doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And then someone who was directly across the street saw what was going on and ran over to help and started doing compressions.
To clarify, the new hands-only CPR wouldn't have required those rescue breaths, but in this case, it certainly didn't hurt. Also, we don't know for sure whether this person's heart actually stopped, but that's the point. If you see someone down, unresponsive, it's better to start CPR anyway. If you were wrong and this person was alive, the absolute worst you've done is maybe broken a rib or two.
It's hard to tell time in these kind of situations, so I'm not sure exactly how long this was going on. But then she started to kind of gasp. So we stopped and just sort of watched her, and then she started to breathe normally and wake up.
Amanda's quick thinking created a situation that only happens 8% of the time. Hooray for CPR.
And then pretty much as soon as the driver saw that she was alive again, it was clear that he wanted to get her in the car and get away, because I'm pretty sure that this person had had a drug overdose, and so he wanted to get out of the scene of the crime.
Well, maybe that's not the Hollywood ending I was looking for, but I'll take it. John, for his part, travels every year to the Pennsylvania state capitol in Harrisburg, lobbying his local politicians to include CPR training in all Pennsylvania high schools. He says every politician, regardless of party, completely supports the idea and that they'll, you know, be in touch.
So you go, you talk to a guy, and he's like, yeah, let me look into this. And then you go next year. What does he say next year?
It's kind of, you know, it's unfortunately the same thing, you know. It's tough.
So John and his Drexel University EMS colleagues have taken it to the streets, literally, with a program they call Sidewalk CPR.
So we'll set up like a little station or a table with CPR mannequins. It's like, hey, if you want to learn how to save someone's life, you got a minute?
Learn how to save a life in a minute? Well, it turns out I do, in fact, have time for that. And I'm signing you up for the lesson too. So here it is, the 1 minute tutorial on how to save a life. You ready?
Okay. So basically what we're going to do is just quick two steps, right? So if you see somebody who's laying on the ground and they're not moving, you need to call 911. That's your first step. So call from your cell phone, or you can send someone else to call 911 to say there's a man down. And then you're going to come over and you're actually going to lift up their shirt, and then you're going to see if they're breathing. All right. And if they're not breathing, you're going to put your hands right in the middle of their chest and just start pushing hard and fast.
How fast? The ideal speed is ironically the exact tempo of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. So consider that your CPR theme song.
So you just keep doing that until help arrives. And then you possibly could save this person's life. It's simple as that.
Simple as that.
Welcome to the future of CPR. Clean, simple, easy, and hella retro. For The Pulse, I'm Avir Mitra.
Pulse contributor Avir Mitra is a doctor who just started his residency and is specializing in emergency medicine. You may look the other way, but we can-